Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have former Speaker of the Florida State House, Paul Renner, who termed out in 2024. He is a candidate for governor for the state of Florida. I know we haven't done a lot of candidate interviews, but obviously we had one candidate on, so we're having any other candidates who are eligible and at the right level to ask me for it. And here we have Paul, who is traveling in Northwest Florida. Speaker, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Great to be with you.
Good to have you. Now, you were in Pensacola over the weekend, is that right? You're kind of in the Northwest Florida area right now?
I was, yeah. We were there, came through Chipley on Saturday and Pensacola on Sunday, Santa Rosa yesterday, and we're waking up in Okaloosa and Niceville this morning. It'll be here all day as we kind of make our way east.
Yeah, very good. Now, you were a naval officer. Did you retire? What did you do in the Navy?
Yeah, I was a surface warfare officer, so age 23. I was on the deck of the USS McInerney in Desert Storm going through mine-infested waters as officer of the deck, and I also led a small boat team of about five or six guys, two of which were explosive ordnance folks, and they'd swim over, you know, 20 feet or 30 feet, put some explosives on the mines, so we'd destroy those mines, pull them back in the boat, and, you know, something happened. It happened to us, not to our ship that was about a mile away. So then 20 years later as a Navy commander, then as an intel officer in Afghanistan, stopping foreign fighters from coming in to Afghanistan to kill
okay.
us.
Wow, a bunch of different things. A SWO and then EOD, and then you're well, retired commander?
Well, I was an EOD. I was a SWO boat officer. I was in charge of the boat, but I had two EOD guys on board. Yeah, and then intel 20 years later.
Did you ever serve on a carrier at all?
No, I was on Perry-class frigate, USS McInerney, FFG-8, little small boys, they call them, and not a carrier. That's a whole different ballgame.
Been
on a carrier, but not served on one.
The only reason I was asking is because today is the final flight of the COD. The Greyhound is, is having its very last flight ever after six decades in service. It's flying into NES Pensacola, the last one to retire forever. They're going to the Ospreys entirely, so I will never get my carrier rest landing because they don't exist anymore for, you know, non-pilots. So
right, yeah.
Oh well, you know, these things happen.
The slower approach.
That's right.
Yeah.
So why do you want to be governor?
Well, I don't want to go backwards. And look, I helped build the free state of Florida as Speaker of the House. You know, those 2 years were described as being the best two that we've ever had in Florida. We got a lot done. It was a time when conservatives won every battle, and I don't want to go backwards is the why. So there's a lot of reasons why I'm better than the other candidates, but that's the why I'm running.
And so you obviously, you know, you were the speaker under Governor DeSantis, and now you've had 2 years to watch the interaction between the governor and the House. I mean, things have been very tense over the last couple of years. I think really dysfunctional between the governor's office and the House. What's kind of your observation and what you think you might be able to do as governor that would make things, well, either better or smoother or whatever, however you want to characterize it?
Well, first of all, I know everybody coming in. So, you know, I believe, as I did, one of the reasons why we got so much done is we kind of focused on the mission and let personality get in the way. But criticize in private, praise in public is what I would say is you know, there's blame to go around for sure for the last couple of years. But I would make sure that I sit down with the presiding officers and leadership in the House and Senate and say, what's important to you? And here's what I just campaigned on. I've got a contract with Florida that's a 100-day plan. It starts with affordability, taxes, insurance, electric rates, getting them all down, you know, stopping hyperscale data center construction, which I think is a bad deal for Florida. And you know, this is what I campaigned on, you know, what's important to you. And let's see if we can't work together to get, you know, all of the above, to the extent it's consistent with, you know, our principles.
So you made, several, like, huge issue kind of things in that list. Pick any one of those, whether it's house insurance or, you know, utilities affordability or homeowner, you know, or just general affordability. I mean, car insurance is another. You didn't mention it, but, you know, home itself affordability. Pick one and tell me what your plan is.
Well, I mean, I've got a plan to eliminate homestead property taxes, and I do that through a combination of savings and replacement taxes on people who vacation here, who speculate here, who are newer here, to get the burden off those who have made their home here for 20, 30 years. One of the saddest things in the campaign is meeting with people, usually elderly people on fixed income, who say, I'm leaving the state because I can't afford those things anymore, those three things we just mentioned. And so I've got a plan, specific plan. I'm the only one that's rolled out a comprehensive plan that's, you know, detailed, other than I'll do something about it. That's not, you can't pass a platitude. You can only pass a plan. And so obviously I could work with the legislature on that to see what they want to do. But But that is my intention, is to actually eliminate it in full. That's not what's on the proposed ballot measured this year. But I've also got, you know, replacement taxes there for 911 services. So it's 2 minutes, not 20 minutes when you call 911. That's important as well. I've got the endorsement of Fraternal Order of Police. I love our first responders, our police and firefighters, and want to make sure we've got them covered. And obviously the other core services of government. And you got to also look on that one, Andrew, is got to look at every county is different. You know, one size fits all doesn't. So I'm very sensitive to that. So I'd want to see, you know, a 2-year discussion before the 28 ballot was when this would happen to make sure that, that we've got everything figured out. But there's some tightening that needs to happen. People are really suffering on all fronts. And so that would be one I would take. And I've got plans for the insurance as well.
We're talking to Paul Renner. He is a candidate for Florida governor, former Speaker of the House. On property tax, just because that's the one you kind of were elaborating on a little bit. Philosophically, I have hated property taxes my whole adult life. I think philosophically they can't be justified. What frustrates me about the current proposal is that it doesn't eliminate the property taxes. It doesn't even touch the property taxes when it comes to schools. We're trotting out this argument that we're protecting people from having their home taken away, but I don't know why the $600,000 home doesn't deserve as much protection as the $250,000 home, and that doesn't even touch your rental properties or your business properties. It seems like the whole thing should go. Sounds like that's your plan. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like that's your plan. But also, you want to study it and roll out do it on a process with replacement tax, which the current proposal does not. It just says, here's your chunk, it goes away, and there's no solution for the alternative. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, you're largely right. I mean, I've got help for Homestead. I go to $1 million and also small businesses to $750. And I'm getting a little feedback. I don't know if you hear that on your end, but also help for renters.
Yeah, it's good.
And then, you know, we have replacement taxes, but they're not a full replacement, to be clear. We want to see a lot of savings during those first 2 years. And that savings has to be a state partnership. So the state has to go and look at Medicaid, for example, and get rid of some waste, fraud, and abuse. And if we save $1 billion out of the tens of billions we spend on Medicaid, we can use that to help the local governments pay down those property taxes. But I agree with you philosophically, it's not a just tax. My plan would begin that process of elimination, and we can do that. I really do believe we can do it through a series of replacement taxes that would shift the burden in large part to people that are coming from outside to protect those who've been here for quite a long time and call Florida home. And you won't lose your home under my plan completely. It's not just on a part of property taxes. It's all of property taxes up to that $1 million assessment. And then obviously we can look at going higher as we go, if that's possible.
You know,
but it eliminates 95%.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan as long as we can find a viable pathway. That's the only thing that frustrates me about the current proposal is it's so blunt, it's so sudden, and I just don't think it's a very smart measure compared to what we should have done. Your background, well, you know, being Speaker of the House, of course, you were 8 years in the legislature. One of the concerns I always have, and I see it with Governor DeSantis, is somebody who's, you know, a legislator at heart, a lawyer at heart, you know, somebody who's good at arguing and reasoning and making policy, but being the executive is a completely different role, and it's a lot of, you know, management. And there's good things because you can act unilaterally, but there's bad things because you've got to be good at overseeing people and delegating. And there's a lot of administrative things that have either failed or fallen through the cracks, whether it's from replacing people on boards or, I don't know, misusing executive power. Those are concerns I have. So persuade me as a legislator that you would make a good executive.
Yeah, well, that's a great question for me because compared to the other candidates, there's really no comparison. I'll start with Speaker of the House and then I'll go back to the beginning. But, you know, 500 or so employees in the state house that I'm managing. So you're an executive over the House operations, although it's in the legislative branch. So I alone among the candidates in this race have had that kind of executive level experience in state government. So we'll start there. But go back to the beginning, age 23, and I was leading a group of men during wartime at age 23 that I was responsible for, and that continued for 20 plus years in the military in two wars. So that's management experience, that's leadership experience, overseeing people that the other candidates you don't hear talk about because they've never done it. And so there's a total absence of qualification when it comes to any kind of experience in leadership. And you can add to that, Speaker or as a state attorney, I had a chance to be a supervisor there as well as some of my peers, you know, if there was a Miami Dolphins player arrested, or to go into other courtrooms and oversee people that were hired around the same time as me. And I've had that battle testing too, I would add, you know, to have to try habitual or find a habitual offender. And if I don't prosecute him, you know, unanimously and beyond a reasonable doubt, that guy's going to go back out and commit another crime. So I've had unique experience that others haven't. And I would add to that private sector experience. I've started my own practice. I've been a partner in a law firm, you know, an owner of a building and hiring and firing and regulations and taxes and the whole thing that small businesses have to face. So I've had the private sector experience as well. You bottle all that up and there's just not, you can take everybody else's experience and it doesn't add up to the experience I've had to be ready to stand in and be a chief executive.
Our local school districts, and I know they're not alone, it is all the school districts across Florida are facing some severe fiscal issues because, you know, they had been planning and building for one set of facts, and then along comes the, you know, no income means limited voucher system, or what they call the scholarship program sometimes. And, you know, we're losing thousands of students to homeschool, private school, charter school, all of which I love as, again, somebody who we homeschooled our kids. But for the school districts, they are in trouble. They're all short money. They're all, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs. Now, what is your picture for the future? Do you picture an even more diminished role for public education as students go to other sources? You said you want to cut property taxes. I'm sure all of the pro public school folks that made parts of their body tense up in fear. So what is your picture of the future of educating our K-12 kids in Florida?
Well, and first of all, on the property tax front, you know, we got money to cover that. It's not, again, unlike this proposal, it has no backup whatsoever. We do have backup to cover, you know, essential services, and one of those is education, obviously. But I'm a champion. HB1 was one of the first things, as the name suggests, that I championed as Speaker of the House, which is educational freedom for parents who homeschool, for parents who want to go to a private school. But it's an option. And, you know, it's half of the money that a public school gets per kid. On average, it's about 15 grand. The scholarship's $8,000. So, you know, from a taxpayer standpoint, it's actually better for the taxpayers. But the bottom line is you should choose the school that best fits your needs. And if public schools are doing a fantastic job, people will be beating down the doors to get in. But you've got to also have an exit if they're not doing a good job to let them out and let them go to a different location where they can get a great education. So I was a public school kid. My mom was a public school teacher. So I don't want any listeners that are teachers to think I don't value our public schools. I do. I think we ought to continue to try to increase teacher salaries where we can. We did that when I was speaker. And so we want every kid, no matter where they are, to have a world-class education. But the bottom line is, you know, there's a number of factors driving what you described. One is the scholarship, but I don't think it's the dominant one. You've got issues of immigration, where people aren't showing up for school that were, you know, maybe not here legally, is an issue in some parts of the state. Also, we have fewer kids. And so we have fewer kids coming as the years go by. We have a declining population. That's another factor that will continue to affect our public schools the most, because most of our kids go to public school. And so these are things that we have to, you know, wrestle with. And we have problems when we have growth. We have problems when we have decline. And the local school districts are going to have to, you know, work through that to figure out how to best use the assets they have to fit the kids they have. But I want world-class public education as well. But it can't be Hotel California where there's an entrance but no exit.
You know, it's kind of funny if parents weren't already frustrated with at least some of the quality of schooling, offering them a voucher wouldn't do anything because they'd be happy with where they're at. The reason the voucher matters is because people are unsatisfied with where they're at and think they can get it better across the street. You know, and that's what, you know, to me, the issue is not the funding. The issue is the fact that they feel they have a better alternative out there, or hope they do. Paul Renner, he is a candidate for governor for the state of Florida. Of course, he is a former Speaker of the House. Primary is coming up very quickly. Paul, thank you so much for the time, and thank you for your service as Speaker of the House. I really appreciate it, sir. Nice to talk to you. Get to meet you this morning.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.